Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 9th of July, recording at 8:55 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, being the Friday audio, this is the big picture long-term outlook for each of the main asset classes in which we invest or trade. So, starting with stock markets, my view remains very much that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, and therefore many other markets will be under the influence of this trend, not least those of Europe. Now, in terms of that secular bear market trend, we had last year a predictable and very good medium-term rally, which I often referred to, alleged others, as a technical bull here within the secular bear market. This year, of course, we've seen range trading and a sizable correction in a number of the Asian stock markets. Recently, we had the European and North American stock market indices push back up to test their highs, and most of them failed. The big exception was the Australian S&P ASX index. Now, that suggests to me, again, as I've said previously, I've said for most of this year, that of the three things markets could do in here, that we were more likely to see sideways to lower than any kind of significant move on the upside. And I maintain that's still very much the case. Now, how dangerous is the current environment right now? Well, we saw markets come off those highs, and this commenced with the downward dynamic on the S&P a week ago Thursday, and that just signaled to lots of investors that if markets can't go up now, or can't break up out of these ranges, then they're going to go back down and test the lower support levels. That's still a risk, but right now we've got a very short-term oversold condition. But getting back to the big picture, I think that the danger years are really the first 2 years of a new presidential election term, and that's going to be 2005 and 2006, of course. And we're also dealing with a cycle of rising short-term interest rates, rising interest rates, as you probably know, are the bull market terminator number one of all time. So, I think that will kill off the technical bull that people had previously enjoyed. Now, is there a big downside risk from current levels? Probably not. I've been looking at some of the divergence between the emerging Asian markets and what's actually been taking place in North America and Asia. You know, I've said so often that it's important to identify the cycle leaders in each market cycle, and I'm talking now about the cycle that began with the predictable rallies back in March of last year, with Thailand and India leading on the way up, peaking in January, leading on the way down, and lo and behold, they have been firming in recent weeks, and despite a wobble yesterday, again, most of them were up again in here today. Now, my view, as I've stated over and over again, that if I had anything for the long term, and I do have positions in these markets, it's got to be emerging Asia. Those are very much my favorites. And India and Thailand among the emerging Asian markets. India has a few question marks hanging over it as a result of the election. There are fears and some evidence that we've got a more socialistic financial policy now in India. But that certainly isn't going to derail the reforms that have taken place and the high growth that has been occurring. But it could slow the overall process of privatization and could impede the entrepreneurial spirit a little bit. But it's too early to know for sure on that. But India really remains one of the brightest, biggest long-term bull stories in my view. But again, these markets being emerging markets, are going to, well, all markets are volatile, aren't they? And emerging markets are particularly volatile. So it's very unlikely that these markets will uncouple from any significant downturn on Wall Street. And that's always going to be the big risk. But I know where I want to have most of my assets when I do invest in stock markets. Now, while I do hold positions in both Thailand and India in my pension funds, and I also have in my pension funds some positions in Japan, that's the developed market that I'm happiest to back. But again, I don't regard it as particularly attractive at this time, and I think we'll see more base formation extension in Japan overall. And as I've said really pretty much throughout the year, that this is a more dangerous environment for stock markets. We'll see a lot of whipsaw activity. The risk-reward ratio has deteriorated. In other words, the risks are now much much higher, and therefore I really do favor cash. And I've been building cash all year long. You may think, well, my goodness, David, you've had an awful lot of trades in here. And yes, I have. But that frees up cash, and certainly the profits do. Unfortunately, there have been quite a few of those, a surprisingly large number given the choppy nature of the markets that we've actually seen. And I keep just accumulating that cash, which sits very happily, most of it in sterling deposits. Taking that interest rate, which is only going to go up. I like having a lot of cash, and therefore, well, in an environment of rising interest rates, for me, cash is king. I'll go on doing a lot of trading, particularly in the commodity markets, playing the supply inelasticity theme, my long-term investment theme for this year, and probably a good many more. But in terms of stock market exposure, I have cut that back considerably and will do so even more. And I've also been running a number of hedge short positions, a number of which I'm probably going to close before I go away at the very end of July. Now, moving on to bond markets, government bond markets. Here I have no positions at the moment, but I only want to trade these from a bear standpoint. And I maintain that the peak in the global bond market cycle for prices, in other words, the bottom for yields, occurred in June of 2003, and that what we're seeing in terms of bond prices is a top extension, long-term top extension phase. In other words, the yields are completing base formations. Now, I'm not short at the moment, but I've been talking about the JGBs. I'm probably not going to open up a new position there before I go away, but that's the way I'm thinking. I'd like to see them rally a little bit higher, and I, even though I'm going away, I think I probably wouldn't be able to resist that opportunity. And it's about 50-50 in my view as to whether they could go a little bit higher in the short term. The next big move is going to be down for JGB bond prices. Ditto the U.S. Treasury bonds. They're still steady. So when I look at the charts, I think, well, on the short term action, I really don't want to short just yet. I've just been watching this technical rally. I don't like to play contra trend moves. I know a lot of people do, but I find so many moves that I can play in line with primary trends, particularly secular trends. That's what I want to do. So, in other words, stock markets, secular bear markets, I'm far less likely to be buying stock market futures, much more likely to be shorting stock market futures, preferably when rallies become overextended and run into resistance or there are downward dynamics. And in the bond markets, I really am looking for shorting opportunities rather than buying opportunities. I think in a rolling sequence of highs and lows, that each trough for yields, I'm talking now about the very long-term picture over the next 10 to 15 years or so, that each trough for yields in government bonds will be higher than the previous one, the one that we saw in, and then the last one we saw was, of course, in June 2003, and that each new high for yields will exceed the previous one that we had seen within this cycle commencing, say, June last year. Okay, what about in the currency markets? Well, here we don't get the generational long or more secular trends that we see in the bond markets and in stock markets and in commodity markets. The main reason for that is that no country can withstand a sustained rise in its currency over a number of years. And they just print more of it when that happens. So, but looking at the currency markets, I'm still very much of the view that the dollar's rally has, such as it was, has ended, and that we will see the dollar go back down and test its lows. If you look at currencies the other way around, that means that the euro is going to go back up and test its high up near the 129 level and probably move a little bit above that level. I don't look for a collapse in the US dollar. Now, currency trends do tend to overshoot a bit, and we may well see that happen. But I feel that we're in the latter stages of what is this sort of medium term, defined here as several years, trend for the US dollar. But if I had any currency positions today, and I don't, I would be short the dollar. Now, moving on to the commodity markets, this to me is the most exciting area, or at least as far as the industrial commodities are concerned. The supply inelasticity theme, that's my investment theme for the year and several more years. No doubt, perhaps a good many more years. This is a major bull cycle, new bull cycle in commodity markets, and as I mentioned in my comment, very few people who are in the markets today have actually lived through one of those. You had to be around in the markets, active in the markets in the 1970s, or I should say lived through it and also in terms of paying a lot of attention to it and participated in it. And I'm seeing things happen now in commodity markets that I haven't really seen since the early 1970s. This is going to be a major cyclical move. It will be helped by the fact that so many of these commodities are coming off what were real all-time lows in terms of our modern era of market history. And in other words, adjusted for inflation, many of them were at all-time lows. And as a consequence of that, the ability to produce these commodities had reduced considerably. We then saw for the first time in well over a decade, or we have seen and are currently still in, a synchronized global economic recovery. And that's always caused bull trends in commodity markets. And then we have this enormous factor of the very rapid growth of a number of emerging economies, not least China and India. And so the demand for these commodities, as you know, has just soared. It's a story that has been reported on at length, not least in the Fuller Money Service. But it's a story that I maintain is going to run for years and years. And by that I mean 10 to 20 years quite easily. And therefore, in the commodity markets, in the industrial commodity markets, I expect that when they have sell-off phases, and we have seen one of those, it's starting really towards the latter part of the first quarter of this year, and they can be really vicious, but that the lows, far more often than not, the troughs following those sell-offs will be higher than the previous significant low, and a good many of the highs will go to, prior to sell-offs, will go to new recovery highs within this overall cycle. So very much a secular bull market, and I will continue to play these with with considerable vigor. Now, sometimes people say to me, and I get the occasional comments, David, you're talking too much about futures, and why aren't you, you know, can you do more on individual shares? Well, I cover all these bases, but, you know, I go where the action is in terms of my own money. And I don't want to say, well, futures aren't my thing. Futures are going to be my thing if these markets are actually moving, and futures are the best way to play the commodity markets. And let me now step back and just give a quick review for those of you who also want a little bit of an update on the short-term action and what's happened in here today. I mentioned that some of the Asian stock markets following yesterday's wobble had improved in here today, and we've had a little bit steadier action in some of the European markets, a bit mixed there. More down than up, but I noticed that FTSE was up a little bit. That's the UK market. The Italian market was up a little bit, and small losses elsewhere for most of them. Wall Street closed out here today with some modest gains, up 41 on the Dow. That wasn't all that far off the highs of the day, 3.7 on the S&P, and 11 points on the NASDAQ Composite. So modest gains in here today, and on a very short-term basis, we're a little bit oversold following the sell-off that commenced Thursday last week. I don't think we're going to see anything big on the upside in here, as I've already said. And rallies are an opportunity to sell. Now, I do have some long positions, of course, but those are mostly in mining shares now, in addition to the Asian positions that I had mentioned to you. And some of them, that Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, that's that London-listed MLW is the code, and I'm just going to check that. It was quite strong earlier in the day, and gave up a little bit from its highs, but closed up two pence at 186.75. It's got a very good chart overall. Yes, there's overhead resistance. There is in all these mining situations and the mining indices, but certainly this still looks in form, and I'm happy to run profits in this market. Newmont Mining is another one that I picked up, and oh my goodness, this is a bit surprising. This has had another gain in here today. It was down most of the day, closed at 42.28. I know a number of you have that have a long position in Newmont Mining, which is the biggest of the golds, and a quality, very, very quality gold share. So this is doing very well in here, and I talked before about how these seem to be lagging a bit, and indeed, today it's outperformed the actual metal, which had had a very good day earlier on. It had a very good day yesterday and the day before, down 30 cents on the close today, so that's not much at all. So again, I think we're seeing more investment action, as I've been talking all week about this, in terms of the hedge funds, what are the hedge funds doing, and a number of other investors moving back into last year's best plays, and mining shares were certainly among them. So that's a good gain that we've seen in Newmont recently, and I would expect this to continue here. One of the reasons for that is the softness of the dollar, and I'm looking at the euro right now. It's closing at 124.15, and well, it's still trading actually, but that's near the highs of the day. So again, good solid action, and the euro has been edging higher. Dollar's been edging lower against just about everything. So that's helping to revive interest, but there's more to it, of course, than just the currency play story. Next week I might put up charts of gold and some of the other currencies. But while I'm bullish of gold, I'm a big long-term bull of gold, I maintain that just about everything else is going to do better. And at least until people become seriously concerned about inflation. And for instance, while I have gold investments, Really, when I take positions in the metals, I'll use the gold proxy with a high beta, which of course is silver. And the silver rally continued in here today. We had a lot of tail towards the close on the chart. For instance, the September position closed at 6.475. That was up 4 cents in here today. But it was 10 off the high, 9.5 off the high on the day. And we're a little bit short term, little bit overbought short term. But the chart pattern, the chart action has been absolutely terrific. It's been a banner week for silver. And it's catapulted silver well into by far the most profitable overall position that I've had this year. And of course, I've been in and out of it as you know. And the additional rally, my current long positions are in the December contracts, and I've been taking profits because I had an awfully big position for me in silver, and continue to do so. I'm in here today, and I've still got a not insubstantial position, but much reduced. It's much more like the size of the positions I was running in earlier in the year and last year and the year before. But so I sold, just to give you the figures on that, at 6.50.05 on December. That was against my rollover purchase on the 28th of June at 5.976. Now, my disappointment of the day was orange juice. Orange juice got stopped out, and I'm really going to nudge the spread bettors on this to narrow the spreads, because the spreads are ridiculous. They're quoting spreads that for orange juice that might have been well been applicable when the price was twice as high, but haven't been revised downwards in this big bear market, and probably because there haven't been that many people clamoring to trade orange juice. But again, a profit's a profit in here, and my stop was at 6.25, and well, it reached that yesterday. Now, I think actually it had reached 6.25, and then I moved my stop, and then closed strong yesterday, and I moved my stop up to that level. And no, it was, sorry, it was the day before on that, to get my facts right. But it did touch it yesterday, but I didn't get executed on that. It was the low trade, but I did today, and the price to me actually worked out to be 65.75. So expensive spread bet costs there, unnecessarily expensive, and that's against my purchase of 5.5, better than 5.5 cents lower at 60.23 on the 18th of June. Now, orange juice, I'm disappointed in that because orange juice closed very firmly, and on the charts it does look, despite the little wobble that we've seen the last couple of days, that it could run again in the short term. But this is very much, well, I was going to say it's a weather punt, but it's not so much that. But the technical action does look to me like it could push higher again next week. I'm not going to chase after it, because when I look at the chart, and I may put up a point and figure chart of this for you to view in perspective, when you get the spike lows and spiking down and then upwards very dramatically, this is a typical V bottom that then goes into right-hand extension type of overall base formation. So this rally, it may now go into a slower ranging phase, and then eventually spill over in a few more weeks' time. That would be the best case scenario that I would envisage, and then get a pullback and base extension phase, which could be quite lengthy. That's what I'm thinking in terms of most likely outcome. And oil markets, I've still got that long in natural gas, and that looks that's short-term oversold. A little bit of profit taking in oil, but closed at still a high level of 39.96 on the crude. And the oil contracts are a little bit overbought following what's been a blistering rally here overall. But as you know, I don't agree with these people who say that we'll soon be at $30, and that's what people have been forecasting now for a number of months. And I think that's pretty much it overall, except for the base metals. And I think they had a little bit of a mixed day, but more up than down overall. And my lead was unchanged, but still very firm. 865, that looks like that could go higher quite easily. Good back at 917. Tin, which took a hit yesterday, and the chart looked a bit dodgy, but it rebounded in here today, so it offset yesterday's downward dynamic with an upward dynamic today. Copper, very firm. There's a copper story posted in comment of the day. And once again, supply and elasticity. That's the big theme. Have a splendid weekend.